The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is the Goalkeepers Union Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Goalkeepers Union Podcast. Between the Sticks, me, Matt Beadle, here with the salty voice of goalkeeping, Richard Lee.
Good morning, Matthew. Right, you've caught me by surprise with this one. Normally we have a little conversation, don't we, beforehand, as to what voice of goalkeeping will I be this week, but I had no idea that you would come up with salty, and I'm not sure why, but go on.
So, salty, I thought, because it could have been faddy, because you're quite faddy, aren't you, Richard? You go through your fads, and you have certain things at certain times in your life that you feel enrich your life, improve your life, create a state of well-being. And right now, for you, it's these, what do you have in your hand there? Little smelling salts.
The little smelling salts. Yes, the little smelling salts. Okay, yeah. No, I'll take that. I am, do you know what? I think flexible is the word, which again brings us back to goalkeeping nicely, in that you need to be flexible if you're going to be a top goalkeeper in many different ways. But yeah, I am enjoying these smelling salts right now. Used to enjoy them back in the day when I played. They were more a tool where you would, I don't know, if you're doing a gym session, I'm sure a lot of the goalkeepers listening in, they might use smelling salts, and maybe you're just feeling like you need a little kick, and you might just have a bit of the smelling salts to kind of give you a little boost to go and do a gym session or a training session, whatever it might be. I am now solely reliant on them for everything I do.
So talk me through the process here. So smell it. What I've never smelt salts in this way.
Oh, incredible.
What kind of smell is it?
Oh, how do I describe it? I mean, it's going to take me into a different realm now, trying to describe how good smelling salts are. But then also, I need to be careful to promote this, because I've been doing it for a while and it's really good. Certainly when I'm doing work and I need a little boost and just to clear my head, because it's quite a sharp smell. The only thing is, I did run this through, I don't know if you come across ChatGPT, Matt, but I did run this through ChatGPT and they did tell me I need to be a little bit careful because there are certain chemicals in smelling salts. So I don't want to promote this because I wouldn't say it's necessarily good. However, you will find that pretty much every football club up and down the country, they will have smelling salts. But again, it has to be used in moderation. So it is a case of, if you just need a little pick-me-up, then maybe a quick sniff and you're good to go again. Completely legal, by the way, must say that at this point as well. So I don't want to promote them, but the actual smell, it's quite sharp. Like if you get one that's strong and you take a big breath, it can really hit you. And it might make the eyes water. It might blow your head a little bit. But they are very good. If you just need a little pick-me-up, I would recommend them. But at the same time, I won't recommend them for all the reasons given.
So the science behind this is just, it's like a little G-up.
Yeah.
That's the purpose.
It is. It's kind of, I mean, I'm sat here now with it in my hand. And I really want to try and describe it. It's a very small bottle and essentially is salts. That's all it is. But yes, if you sniff them, depending on how strong they are, you can get some that are really strong, and honestly they're difficult. But for me, I just find when I'm doing my day-to-day work, obviously lots of phone calls, it can be quite intense, certainly as we're getting towards another window, and naturally with each window it can be 12-14 hours sat behind the desk. At times I just need a little pick-me-up, so that's where I then reach for the salts, quick sniff, and I'm good to go again. Again, I don't know if this is necessarily the most positive voice of goalkeeping that we've ever done, got to be honest.
Well, maybe it's advice for aspiring goalkeepers to start smelling salts. I don't know. Yeah.
But this could also come back in a bad way, like I say, because it's definitely not something you should be doing all the time. Absolutely not. But once, twice a day, from what I understand, by all means, do your own research, look into it. It can just give you a little pick-me-up.
Excellent. On with the show.
Let's do it.
Okay, we shall start at Turf Moor. Burnley 2, Fulham 3, and Bernd Leno. 6 saves from the German. And I just want to say here that I think he's arguably the most consistent, understated goalkeeper in the Premier League at present. This is a goalkeeper who has not missed a game since his first appearance for the club. That is now 128 consecutive Premier League appearances. Denied Leslie Ogechukwu a couple of times in the first half. There was a save from Jakob Brun Larsen in there as well. Good saves. Strong, solid goalkeeper is Bernd Leno.
I would agree completely. Do you know what though? This is where it's funny. We do this show so often, and like you say, I can't think of us talking about him in negative terms at all for a long, long time. Not that we speak about anyone negatively, of course, but you know, in terms of looking at potential feedback or where certain goals have gone in and what he might have done and so on and so forth, he is just incredibly consistent. And I really, really enjoyed this performance. I mean, a few of the saves that we'll mention. I just think he's a really intelligent goalkeeper. That's probably the word that I'd use, in that I think his timing on spreads, his reading of the game, I think is excellent. There's a couple of good examples in this game in particular, timing on a through ball in particular, where couldn't get there, but got himself into position close enough, great shape when he got there, made the save, and it wasn't your typical spread because it was kind of coming through, ball was a bit higher, and the shape that he took I thought was excellent. There was one that was more of a classic spread, but again, timing very good, got to exactly where he needed to be, very good execution on the spread, excellent save low right, and again you just low to his right, and you just watch this save again and you kind of see just positionally very good, readjusts at last minute, very powerful down to his left to get a right hand on it, and yeah, just thought it was a very, very good performance again, really solid. And I'd probably agree in that he is very, very consistent, and probably say that he probably doesn't quite get the praise that he deserves. And I wonder if that is sometimes because whether it is the club that he's playing for at the moment, of course, certain clubs may get a little bit more attention, and whether it is just because he doesn't make many errors, like there isn't the spotlight on him. He does his job. He does it very well week in, week out. And maybe because of that, there isn't that much noise around him.
Yeah, I would probably agree with that. So could you ever see, so is Bernd Leno now in that bracket where he has been at a top club like Arsenal, he's now dropped down to Fulham, and he could be a goalkeeper that's quite happy. Sometimes you find footballers in general who live in the capital, they're enjoying their life, they're having a good time, he's fine, he's comfortable at Fulham. But can you ever see Bernd Leno jumping again into that top six category?
I could base purely on performance, yeah, but I think... and you mentioned that, where so many examples of that, the goalkeepers, maybe at a top six, doesn't quite work out. Ben Foster's actually probably a really good example of this, where, you know, he's at Man United. You could argue maybe that opportunity came a little bit too soon, and then he goes on and has a phenomenal career, obviously largely at West Brom and Birmingham, and so many Premier League games, player of the season, season after season, and never quite makes his way back there. You do wonder whether that is because he was there previously, and it's almost a case of once you've had your opportunity and it's gone, then that's that. And similarly, is it a case of, you look at, I know we spoke about this in various forms before, as to who do the top six sign, or who do a lot of the Premier League clubs sign, and why do they sign them? Now, is Bernd Leno someone that a top six, if you're looking at it and you're looking at it really logically, he makes very few errors, he's very consistent, knows the Premier League inside and out, like you would think he would make a lot of sense. Now, yeah, I'll be really curious to see if he does make that jump. And there's nothing against Fulham, obviously, but if he does make that jump up again to a club that are consistently fighting for the top four, top six, my gut says he doesn't, purely based on history. And I think, you know, I suppose we look at other examples of guys that have done it. So David Raya is a good example, but of course he wasn't at a top six previously. So he's made the jump. Took him a bit of time to adjust, and I don't think that was necessarily on him. I think that was just the noise around him, and the fact that when you are at one of the elite clubs like that, there is a hell of a lot of noise that surrounds you. And credit to him, he came through that, and now he's starting to get a lot of praise and a lot of the credit that he deserves, and he's very much established there now. But it took a long time to do that, and you have to go through the whole narrative of it not being so good for a period of time, and then that consistency. And I kind of feel like that's happening to a couple of other goalkeepers at the moment. I believe we're going to touch on Rob Sanchez at some point, where it kind of feels like it's getting a little bit more positive, which is nice. But you have to ride through that storm, and if you then get into that storm, and for whatever reason at that point you are moved on, then you never get the opportunity to do that. And I feel with Bernd Leno now, where his stock is so solid where he is, it might just be a case that he cracks on. Whether someone was to come back in for him, I'm not sure, just purely based on history.
Okay, watch this space. Arsenal 2, Wolves 1 at the Emirates. A mad end to that game. Sam Johnston for the opener. Let's just focus on that one. In straight from a corner. Well, actually not in straight from a corner. Cannon off the post, off his back, and then in. At fault here or not?
It's a real tricky one, this, because it's a horrible, horrible ball to deal with. He's incredibly unlucky because, you know, he gets that slight touch to it. If that goes the other side of the post, we're probably talking about it on this podcast now, that he did very well to readjust, got a finger to it, went around the post. You know, it's a top save, we could say. But the fact that he's got a finger to it, hits the post, come back, hits him, goes in the goal. The only bit I saw, and the bit that, again, just purely from personal experience, there's the smallest nudge on him in the back, and I believe it's from his own player. Now, again, we talk about this a lot. You're going up for a ball, even the smallest nudge, it might change you by an inch, 2 inches. That's the difference between getting enough of a hand on it to get around the post or not quite enough and it hits the post and comes back and hit him. So I do think he's incredibly unlucky. Like, I'm sure that he'll look at this and those around him will look at it and feel, could he have done a bit more? Could he have done better? Naturally, you will look at it in that way. And at the same time, I'm speaking more from a personal point of view. The moment you go up, the moment you get a small nudge, it is just one of them. You're then relying a little bit on luck, hoping that things go your way and that touch gets it round the post. So, yeah, look, he'll feel he could have done a little bit more. And at the same time, I do feel for him in that I feel like I had similar situations and it's so difficult when you're up, you get a nudge and you can only get fingertips to it and it is what it is.
Over to Stamford Bridge, Chelsea 2, Everton 0. And just quickly touching on Rob Sanchez, who nabbed the faintest touch on an Idrissa Gueye cross. This was to take it away from Tierno Barry, who probably would have had a guaranteed tap-in had Sanchez not managed to get the slightest touch on it. Now, this is only a very small element of the game, but Richard, is this an example of the type of proactive, aggressive goalkeeping you've been referring to when it comes to Sanchez all this time?
Yeah. It's exactly this. And actually, this did get a little bit of credit, which I'm glad it finally did, because I actually watched this game start to finish and really, really enjoyed his performance again. I think he's been brilliant lately, because the bit he's done recently is he has cut out the basic errors, which was killing him, certainly from commentators and from a general perspective, because that's often what gets seen. It's not necessarily the small details that are very, very good. It will be the basic errors that get seen. And the fact he's cut them out, he is now starting to get credit for things like this, where that cross is coming across 6 yard box, probably 5 yards out. Like, most goalkeepers just turn in and wait for the shot to come in, and more often than not it ends up in a goal, given that it's coming in across the box 5 yards out. There was another moment in this game which I loved. It was an outswinging corner and he's come, it must have been 8 yards, you know. And again, it's one of those I'm looking at, very, very few goalkeepers come for this, you know. Starting position so aggressive. It is an outswinger. And I remember, again, from personal experience, a lot of the time on them, when it's going to end about 7-8 yards out, you just turn in and get ready for the header. But he's so aggressive, came out, claims it. Great throw out to the left winger and they're straight on the attack. And I think finally now, I know he got player of the month last month, I believe, for Chelsea. I feel like it's just starting to turn. Now, my hope for him, and I feel like, I've got to be careful because, you know, I feel like I'm so pro Rob Sanchez, but my hope for him now is, it's more because I can appreciate what he's been through to a smaller extent when things are against you and people are talking negatively about you. But now a lot of the good things are being seen. My hope is that he can continue to keep the basic errors to a minimum. I think if he does that, then it's only going to continue to grow for him, because he's in a great spot. He looks so sharp. I mean, a couple of the games he's had recently, the game against Arsenal in particular, that sticks out. But some of the games he's had recently have been standout games, standout performances. And I think now we're really starting to see what he can bring.
Over to the City ground, Nottingham Forest 3, Tottenham 0. Guglielmo Vicario. So, two goals in this game that I guess you could question him for. The first one, not necessarily his fault, but another error that would definitely be attributed to him. The second goal, there is certainly, and I'm going to come on to some comments in a moment from Jamie Carragher, quite the diatribe on Sky Sports' Extra Time show. There's a lot to be spoken about. He went on for quite a while, so I'll come to you first for your opinion on the two goals. But yes, this anti-Vicario sentiment is quite strong at the moment.
Yeah, which again, you know, we talk about narratives and it almost feels like it's someone else's turn. And it certainly feels like that to me at the moment. Now, in terms of these two goals, I feel for him for one that he's passed out because the lad's very much asking for the ball. It's the way they play. He's played it out. Instead of the player taking a first-time pass out to the fullback, which should normally be the case, takes a touch, gets robbed, they score. Now, again, I don't know what more he can do different. You could argue, was there enough detail on the pass? Maybe it could have been slightly better, but I mean, we're nitpicking if we're going into that. He's essentially doing what he's being asked to do. He's completed the pass. The player should then play it out first time. He's got enough time to readjust his feet and play it out first time to the fullback. He doesn't. He gets robbed. They score. It is what it is. You know, I don't know how that can necessarily be attributed to Vicario. That being said, I think he would be frustrated with the second one. And essentially, look, you know, we talk about where the error is and what's happened. Essentially, he's just taken a step forward. You know, I think that's that one where you obviously take that split second, you read the flight of the ball, whether it's a cross or a shot, take the split second. You can see he's just taken that step forward. The moment he's done it, it kills him and there's nothing else he can do. Whereas if he just holds for that split second more, his first step can be back towards the ball, can either get a parry away for a corner or even potentially if he gets a couple of quick steps in, he might even be able to hold it. But you can see he's so eager to try and attack the ball, his first step's forward and the moment he does that, he's not able to readjust. So I'm sure that's one that he'd hold his hands up for.
Okay, are you ready? Shall I just quickly read? Well, it's not going to be quick, to be fair. Shall I just read out this attack, really, that Carragher had on the Sky Sports Extra Time show?
Go on. I feel like I'm a little bit on edge today, so this might send me over the edge. But go on, go for it.
Do you know what? We'll label it as one of these because we haven't had one for a while.
Commentary corner.
So I'll do this as quick as I can. Carragher said on the first goal, it's not just a keeper playing out, it's a keeper on his weak foot. Typical Vicario. He's always blaming someone else. Every time I see a goal go in, he throws his arms at someone else. He seems to do it a lot, and he did it again today. We can talk about young Archie Gray in midfield, but I'm putting this on the goalkeeper. Archie Gray could do a lot better. Of course he could. But what the lad does initially is he is trying to help someone who doesn't actually need help. The goalkeeper doesn't actually need any help because the ball should go out wide to his player. I don't know what the problem is. There is no real pressure on it. But what Vicario does, instead of passing with his right foot, De Van de Ven on his left foot, he then takes the ball on his left foot and tries to play a little dinky pass here. The point I'm trying to make about being on your weak foot as a goalkeeper is there is a reason you're in goal for one. You are probably not going to be amazing with your feet, but on your weak foot, you are trying to be intricate and trying to pass it to a certain player's foot. Archie Gray can play with both feet, but he is predominantly right-footed and he plays it to his left foot. Could Archie Gray's control be slightly better? Of course it could, but for me, that is on the goalkeeper. It's a horrible ball to deal with. Credit for the pressing. You think of Sean Dyche, you think of Nottingham Forest getting after the opposition players, and they do really well. But talking about the left foot pass, it's not a great pass. It's bobbled in because it's on his weak foot. So that bobbling, bouncing pass into Gray on his weak foot as well. Yes, control should be a little bit tighter, but even if his control was right, Sangare would still be on top of him. I'm laying all the blame on the goalkeeper. I am.
Yeah, I think you have sent me over the edge. Thanks, Matt.
It's mad, isn't it? It's mad. And his tone, everything around it is tone, just madness.
Don't. I mean, we haven't actually, I feel like I haven't moaned about commentators for a while, but yeah, honestly, it's just going to come back to the same thing, which they need to have someone goalkeeping related on there. Because I know if they did, in that moment when he says that, they would shut him down and they would then... Because the obvious point to this is that, look, do you think Vicario wants to be threading an intricate ball into the city midfielder? Like, of course he doesn't. Like, I can promise you, any goalkeeper, if it's up to the goalkeeper, we'd just love to kick it up the field every single time. You know, it's what it was back in the day. Just, and by the way, football seems to be going a little bit more that way anyway. Certainly with the fact that Donnarumma's gone to City... you know, now Edison isn't in the City team, they have changed their style of play to fit Donnarumma. And again, it's a lot lower risk. Sean Dyche, low risk football, and it works. Like, he's so good at what he does, Sean Dyche, and he always has been, because he just knows how to win games of football. And ultimately, Vicario is being told to do this. So why blame Vicario? Why not blame Thomas Frank? Like, why is Carragher going for Vicario when actually he's being told to do this? Can you imagine if he just swipes a left foot upfield? He's then going to get all sorts of dogs abuse from his managerial team. So Yeah, it just nonsense. But then, yeah, a lot of what he says is like, it's really difficult for me because this is why I don't watch. I'm lucky actually being where I am now. I don't have to watch Sky Sports to watch the games. I can watch it on different channels over here and different commentators. Well, that being said, I tend to get Keys and Gray a lot, it seems. But so I don't know if that's better or worse. But no, look, I think I've said enough on that.
Yeah. And we would just finish this little segment on the fact that I'll ask you the question. Do you know what Vicario's XGA is this season?
Okay, I actually have no idea because I'm assuming it's not going to be near zero. It's either going to be very positive or very negative. So go on.
It doesn't suit the narrative. It's positive 2.3.
There you go. Yeah.
So, and that's, you can imagine that flashing up on their little stats board that they have. And you can imagine them going, oh, yeah, well, but anyway, yeah, okay, he's got that. But really, if you look at the mistakes, whereas if it was on the negative, they would massively hone in on that. So you just, yeah, you can't do wrong for doing right.
This is where the narrative, I know I saw that the other day, and it's kind of, look, by the way, I think Donnarumma's come in, and so far, from what I can see, has done a good job. Yet his save percentage, I think I saw it came up, it was 58%. You know, that's woeful. It's woeful, but it doesn't fit the narrative. And actually, we watch the games. It's not like we're watching it and there's goal after. There's been one or two that I'm sure he'll put his hands up and say he could have done a little bit better on. But again, it doesn't fit the narrative of the great Donnarumma or the great Edison or the great whoever it might be. So this is it. It feels like right now, and it was last season, it felt like it was Rob Sanchez. Week after week, they were going for Gary Neville, Jamie Carragher, etc., etc. Now it feels like it's Vicario, although I know that certainly Gary Neville's had it in for Vicario for a long time. You know, I've certainly sensed that. So it feels like it goes in waves. And now it's difficult because Vicario, let's say he plays the next game live on Sky, he's almost on the back foot before he starts. He's not getting judged objectively anymore. It's like they're waiting. You know, you find what you want to find. That's a real basic psychological point. They will find something to continue the narrative. So it is a really tough spot for him right now.
There is one goalkeeper, of course, that Gary Neville has been very complimentary about this season in the interests of balance that we should mention, and that's Robin Roos. Sunderland 1, Newcastle 0. And Neville was, very complimentary about the fact that he was commanding his box, coming for crosses. I love it when you have a goalkeeper who does that, he said. But more to the point, Roos took quite a battering in that game, didn't he?
He did. But do you know what? And this is where it's nice when they are complimentary, and rightly so, because I love how front-footed he is. I love that he wants to come and get involved, and he's getting it right more often than not. You know, the amount of crosses he's coming to claim, and really, really impressive. Look, we talk about where Premier League teams recruit from, and there's often a lot of names that come in that you're not necessarily 100% aware of, and there's been some examples this season, both Premier League and Championship, that you could argue to this point haven't looked quite as convincing as maybe they'd have hoped. But I think certainly with Robin Roos, it's been above and beyond to this point, because I know when they signed him there were a few question marks given how young he is as well, but really, really impressive so far.
And finally, Crystal Palace 0, Man City 3. Dean Henderson, I'd like to get your opinion on this one, because my opinion is that that's a red card for the third goal, the penalty scored by Erling Haaland. I think it was Savinho, wasn't it, that he brought down. That's a penalty. Of course it's a penalty. That should be a red card for me. I know that we have the whole double jeopardy thing now, and you could argue, and it was very well disguised by Henderson, that he was going for the ball, but the ball had gone. He was absolutely taking down Savinho. Again, executed it quite cleverly, but for me, that should be a red.
Yeah, you can see it's kind of one way. And he's done it brilliantly, by the way. The way in which he's got his hand to just clip his foot perfectly. You know, nowhere near the ball. But again, you know, I'll be honest, like you say, the double jeopardy thing, I assume that just falls under this bracket. So I assume it doesn't really matter what happens. Ultimately, it's going to be a yellow card, unless it's serious foul play. My assumption is that it's always going to be a yellow card. But yeah, this was very, very blatant. Once that had happened, he knew it was going to be a goal. And ultimately, by doing this, picks up a yellow card, but at least gives himself a shot of making the save.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step 1, download Rocket Money. Step 2, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step 3, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up.
In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It is the EFL overview, starting in the Championship, where there was a big pen save from Vladan Kovacevic as Norwich beat in-form Southampton at Carrow Road. So it was a chance for the visitors to take the lead through Adam Armstrong. They didn't. I think that's four penalties out of five they've not converted this season. Norwich, in turn, made it two wins from four. An intricate bit of goalkeeping inside the first couple of minutes from Hull's Ivor Pandor in their win at Millwall. So it was kind of a triple save. He parried Mihailo Ivanovic's header, then he's bravely dove at the feet of Jake Cooper and then quickly dragged himself off the deck to effectively tackle a second loose ball from Mihailovic again. Carl Rushworth continuing what is yet another solid loan campaign away from Brighton. He's had a few of these now. A narrow victory for Coventry, who've ever so slightly stuttered in recent weeks. This was over Bristol City, and that was thanks to Rushworth first saving a header from Adam Randell, and then a point-blank effort from Fally Maiulu late on. Excellent reactions here, and doffered the cap too to Rady Vitek in the opposite end in that one. That is two lone goalkeepers very much impressing this term. Can we have the goalkeeper assist klaxon, please? Yes, Sol Brin with a zing. So more of a float, to be fair, but still a lovely pass out of his hands to Morgan Whittaker for the second in a 3-1 triumph for Middlesbrough over QPR. And goal of the weekend, you'd argue, came in the Championship. Abdul Fatawu's strike for Leicester against Ipswich stood at 65 yards. Richard, I ask you this. It was the longest range Championship goal on Opta records. Is it, however, the longest ever range Championship goal?
I don't understand the question. What do you mean? Is it the...
Well, they're saying it's the longest range Championship goal, but that's on Opta records. Is it the longest range Championship goal?
Oh, I'm going to say no, because I believe Asmir Begovic might have that record. Am I correct?
You are incorrect. Asmir Begovic did it. He did score, but that was in the Premier League.
Okay, right. You know someone that's done it longer. Go on, who was it?
So I don't know the yardage, but if we're talking the Championship, I believe it was the first season of the Championship. Andrew Lonergan. October 2004, a 1-1 draw, incidentally, with Leicester, scored past Kevin Pressman. And it was a half volley as well. I had a look at it. It was a half volley from Lonners. But this was, I think it was the first season of the Championship, but it was before Opta records began. So apparently it doesn't exist. I'm sure as well there might have been ones that were even longer in the old First Division.
There you go. I mean, to be honest, football didn't really exist before Opta anyway. So, no, look, going back to on that goal, by the way, and I felt for Christian Walton because I watched this several times. And again, probably goes back similarly to what we talk about Vicario in terms of ways that you want to play, your goalkeeper to play. And certainly with Ipswich, they do want a front-footed goalkeeper. And he's been exceptional in recent weeks. Their rise up the table since he's came in. I think the 10 games he played prior to that, six conceded, 21 points, you know, absolutely flying. And it's difficult when you are asked to play so front-footed that you are 25, 30 yards out of goal a lot of the time because you are the extra man, the extra defender. But it just takes something like this, and it's an unbelievable finish. And again, when you are that far out, I just don't know what else he can do. You know, I think he turns quickly, he gets himself back, but ultimately there's very little he can do. Just mentioning a couple of the others that you've touched on there as well. Really enjoyed the Panda save, just the speed of it. You know, he makes the first save and the speed he gets to the second one to make the block and then the third one. Carl Rushworth, again, really, really solid loan, been excellent this season. A couple of big saves in this, a save low right. Both just very, very good reaction saves, which again is a big strength of his. The tip over the bar sets himself well, really quick to get out, get a tip. The save low right, again, similarly, really good positioning and just so sharp to get round and get like a forearm to it effectively to get it around the post. And as you say, a big well done to Sol Brin. He's doing very well, and so are Middlesbrough.
Into League One, three goalkeepers being sent up Swanies by pesky defenders. Murphy Cooper, Ben Hinchliff and Alex Bass all receiving shoddy back passes, which in turn led to goals against. The latter of those had quite the contest, Bass, including a key pass for the second and eventual winner in the Nene derby between Peterborough and Northampton. A nice little sidey to spark one of many counter-attacks he sparked in that game. He was very nearly caught out at the end when dispossessed trying to run down the clock. We see this all the time. He got away with it. It matters not. Nathan Trott making a key save when it mattered most in a mad contest between Cardiff and Doncaster. It was three apiece at the time. Pushed wide, a deflected effort from Jordan Gibson in the 82nd minute. Cardiff won the game in the 99th. And finishing on Teddy Sharman-Lowe. So Bolton came from behind to beat Exeter. Now, Sharman-Lowe does play very high at Bolton, has done so far this season. But a bit of a mixed bag here. Firstly, his first interception was very good. He cut out an attack with a firm header to a teammate. His second was a weak header, which then led to Exeter opening the scoring. It was miles out of his goal as a result. And the third was just a bit of a messy pass, which somehow managed to prompt an attack. So it ended up being a positive action, despite it being a bit wayward and deflecting off an opponent.
Yeah, do you know, I'll start with Sharman-Lowe because I really enjoy this type of goalkeeping. And again, very much, I feel like that's the theme of the show, actually, talking about this, the proactive goalkeeping and what that can lead to. I thought the first one was absolutely perfect because I think, again, not many goalkeepers are this proactive, are this far out of their goal. And had he have been deeper, this would have been one where no doubt could have led to an attack, led to a big chance, would have just changed the whole state of the game. But the fact that he's 40 yards out, really nice cushion header. And again, Bolton are then in the ascendant. I think the key thing with this is that he's actually doing the hardest bit well, in that his positioning is excellent. He's reading the game. He's getting to the through balls. He's cutting things out of source. It was then just the execution on the next two. You know, the header, the soft header that he did that ended up getting intercepted. And of course, when he's that far out of goal, it becomes a simple finish for the attacker. And then the next one, the execution, if he just strikes it well with his left foot, then the danger's cleared. And again, it's very good goalkeeping. So I suppose it's one of them where I'd certainly say keep doing what you're doing. And at the same time, if that execution, you know, just calming down in that moment and making sure that your execution at that point is good, then, you know, I think this is top, top goalkeeping. And again, keeps your team in the ascendancy. Very, very effective. Just to mention Alex Bass again, you know, I know certainly when he's been in the team at Peterborough, his record is exceptional, really. They're starting to pull themselves out of trouble just a little bit. Frustrating this wasn't an assist, was it? Because ultimately he's played the player through and then it was the follow-up. But, you know, so close to a klaxon. So I'm sure that that'll be disappointing for him. But again, good day for him. And things continue to go from strength to strength for Nathan Trott, as you mentioned. Really, really good save, this one, to his left-hand side. Cardiff on an excellent run at the moment. And this looking like a top loan for him so far, reintegrated back into English football and certainly making a really good fist of it.
And finally, League Two. One apiece between Cheltenham and Harrogate. Quick mention for Joe Day here, because he is continuing his player coach role at Cheltenham and continuing this second coming almost in his career. Double save from Jack Muldoon. Hasn't missed a game since stepping into the breach ahead of Owen Evans last season. That's 55 consecutive appearances in League Two. Jake Eastwood with a big recovery save and a big second half stop in a draw for Cambridge at MK Dons. The recovery was quite fun to watch. So he's done a bit of a Sharman-Lowe, to be fair, by coming and not quite executing his pass in the way he would have liked. MK have won possession. The attacker's taken a very heavy touch. He's managed to eventually get his shot away. Eastwood at this time is scampering back to his goal. The shot deflects off a defender and Eastwood then pulls off a top save to keep it out. Really top save, that one. And Connor Ripley with a cleano to condemn Bristol Rovers to a 10th successive defeat. So Swindon were already 3-0 up at the time, but he summoned his inner T-1000 here, Richard. He stood up to a rasping drive from Shaq Ford and then pushed a header from his own man onto the bar in the second half. Very good goalkeeping.
It was indeed. Yeah, those are the two that I was going to mention. Ripley, I thought, yeah, excellent. As you say, a really tough day for Bristol Rovers. Three down very early on, but could have been very different if it wasn't for Connor Ripley. Yeah, excellent reflexes. The second one in particular to get the fingertips onto the bar. Very, very good. And another very good day for Jake Eastwood, player of the month for Cambridge. And again, seems to be going from strength to strength. A couple of top saves here. Loved the spread save just for the timing of it. And as you say, the save from the deflection was excellent. Even more so when something like that happens and you find yourself scampering back towards your own goal and you're trying to get yourself into position. You're a little bit discombobulated is probably the word I'd use. But he got himself in the right position, was very calm in the moment and then got his hand up to make a top save. Clean Sheet Club. Okay, we're at this point in the show, and actually I'm just having a look. There's not many this week, but it is time for this. That's right, Clean Sheet Club. We start in the Premier League. Robert Sanchez, he's the Manchez. Alisson Aitis, Gianluigi Donnarumma, five alive. John Victor, welcome to the club. Robin Roofs, oofs. Into the Championship, Joe Wildsmith, account open for 25-26. Carl Rushworth, pacing it. Into League One, Nathan Bishop, stalemate. Liam Roberts, tell me about it. Sam Walker, one off a siren. Bradley Collins, just off 1-2. Will Norris, Burton blank. Connor Hazard, safety. And into League Two, Connor Ripley, talented. Grant Smith, mister. Keller Roos, 2-3. Jay Lynch, tally double.
Good stuff, Richard. Good stuff. The table makes for quite interesting reading now, because for the first time in a while, the Premier League boys are starting to make a play. So around 4 or 5 years ago, if you remember, it was very much Alisson, Edison, always up there, there or thereabouts. But since then, they've not really managed to infiltrate the top crop. But now they are back. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4. We've got 5 goalkeepers on 8, and 2 of those are from the Premier League, David Raya and Robert Sanchez, with 8 in 16. So that's 1 in 2. And you've got Nathan Trott with 8 in 18, Josh Keighley 8 in 20, and Carl Rushworth with 8 in 21. But still top of the pile, Oldham's Matthew Hudson, 9 in 20.
Very good. I mean, do we then have, like, I always feel sorry for the Premier League teams, and of course they've only got 38 games. The rest of the EFL have 46 games. So again, it's not really a fair table. I mean, last season, James Trafford would have won regardless, obviously, with the number of clean sheets he had and the ratio. Do we do a separate one as a bit of a ratio? Because if you're keeping 1 in 2, very, very impressive that. Because it might be we get to the end of the season and David Raya is 1 or 2 behind someone in the EFL, but you could argue that he has had that better ratio than the EFL goalkeeper.
That's a fair point to make. Let's see how the land lies at the end of the season. They get a lot of Premier League goalkeepers, don't they? We don't really need to give them much more. I think they do okay.
You say that. I mean, even if David Raya wins the Premier League with Arsenal, like, you know that he will have that clean sheet trophy above and beyond any Premier League trophy, surely.
This is true. Okay, let's see how it looks at the end of the season. If there's an argument, we'll present it.
Perfect. Agreed.
One more thing to mention, and that is a quick word on Shamal George. So I guess you could say it was quite a tough year for him after he joined Wickham in the summer of 2024 from Livingston. Couldn't quite break into the team. They had quite an overload of goalkeepers at the time. He did play in the cups, but then he suffered an injury in Jan, which pretty much ruled him out for the remainder of the previous campaign. He's managed to bag a loan to St Mirren this summer. He's now a League Cup winner after they beat Celtic, quite remarkably, 3-1 at Hampden. It was a breathless first 20 minutes in that game. And inside the first 10, he made an excellent save from Kelechi Iheanacho. It was just, yeah, really nice to see. Watch the interview after the game. Just a nice moment for George.
Yeah, love this. And this is where, you know, we talk a lot about goalkeeping and the different paths it can take and sliding doors and, you know, the right opportunity, the right time, etc. And as you say, his story, it's a really interesting story. And when you have moments like this, games like this, and actually to have such a big moment in the game and such a big win for the team, love things like this. I know that afterwards he dedicated it to his granddad, didn't he, as well, which was nice. But just talking about the save in particular, because it was a crucial save at a crucial time. It was a top save as well. You know, obviously big atmosphere, big environment. But if you watch it again, when the header comes in, it's just that movement just before the header comes in where he's taking the step back. He's got his body weight forward. He's able to get an explosive dive away to his left-hand side, full stretch, gets a hand on it, puts it away from the goal into a safe area. brilliant save. And again, if that goes in, it could have been a very, very different afternoon for St Mirren. But yeah, to win the cup against Celtic, I mean, it's the kind of thing that dreams are made of.
I know we've spoken about Casper loads of times on this pod as well, but watching him yesterday with that little poppy zinger that he has, the little short and sharp zinger that he loves putting out. I remember we featured it on, he did it during, it was either the Euros or the World Cup, the most recent Euros or World Cup. It's just so delightful to watch the way he does. His technique is just glorious.
Yeah, it is. It's and he's had it nailed for many, many years. And there's very few goalkeepers that have actually got that. You kind of look at, you know, I guess it'd be that one. If you could ever build like the perfect goalkeeper and you'd take certain attributes from different goalkeepers, that would definitely be one that would be in there.
Absolutely. Okay, Richard, that is us for another week. Thank you.
Thank you, Matthew.
This has been the Goalkeepers Union podcast, Between the Sticks. Keepers.
Wait.